Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah. So, I already made the video, well, half of it anyway, and I didn't press the button. The record button. I don't think I've made an error that grotesque previously. That just seems really stupid. But anyway. I mean, whatever it is. I don't know how that could even happen. I must have missed it or something. And, I wasn't paying enough attention to notice that, it's not recording. I mean, I don't know. Well, anyway. So, it's just irritating because, I'm in a different place now. And I have to start over again. So, point of the video was sort of just to say, okay, look, this project of trying to get people to a point where you can have an intelligent conversation about the meaning of life, and more importantly the specific question of whether there's any good reason to keep making living things. Like, I could argue that there's some good aspects to being alive, in the sense that there's this notion of beauty, and it's quite powerful, and but the rest of it's just a bunch of danger, Will Robinson, just a bunch of really negative things where things go all kinds of wrong, and there's all kinds of horror, pain, grief, and very, very deep and hard sadness and pain. It's not worth it. Just by personal experience with it, I wouldn't have any impulse to press a do it again button. Even though I have some really great memories of different things and all that kind of stuff. But most of those are all tainted, because every one of those memories, if I really think them through, I recognize that, the other person's dead now. And that they died some horrible, stupid way. And, all the stuff that's attached to those good memories is a bunch of negatives, a bunch of hard, cruel, negative things. So anyway, so we really can't have the conversation yet, because most of the humans who are pressing the button are morons. Frankly, it's just that simple. They aren't mature, they're kids. They really have no interest in defending what they're doing. They're just impulsive, obnoxiously arrogant, all of this kind of stuff. And they're just going to live in their pro-life delusion of accomplishment. And you're not going to be able to explain to them that what they're doing is goddamn stupid. So you could be talking to, like, matadors in a bullfight and try to explain that, you think it's all about honor and, you being a man, but it's really you being a pussy. You have all these other people, wear your adversary down, and then you show up and kick it in the nuts. I mean, you're a fucking coward. You're not a hero. You're just a douchebag. The animal was always stronger and better than you, and you had to cheat, even in the moment of death with your little sword. Go strangle it. Use your bare hands, pussy. You should be able to explain to this fucking moron that what he's doing is just pointlessly cruel theater, and he should grow the fuck up and find something better to do with his life. So the same, I would argue, is this is the same conversation over and over again, and that's really all you're arguing it with people, is that they're, they're acting out a ritual that's just cruel and stupid and archaic and nonsensical. So, it came up as a thought this week, so it just popped into my head, the whole Jewish thing of bleeding animals to death, to make it pure, because their little Bible, their little Quran says so. I mean, their Torah. Just what the fuck? Educate them enough to know, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? It's pointlessly cruel. It's just because people are ignorant. They were a lot more ignorant 1,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago, and 4,000 years ago. I mean, shouldn't you just grow the fuck up, okay, and figure out that's just a stupid and cruel ritual, and you should be able to go, you know, you should be able to recognize you're just being a superstitious moron, and you're defending this out of some tradition. Yeah, go ahead, be proud of your people, be proud of this, be proud of that, but don't be proud of that, rituals. No, I mean, come on, too silly. No, you should be able to talk to these people and get them to, you know, oh yeah, okay, I get it, you know, I am being a moron. you know, it's not, it's just, you know, but no, you can't, it's not that simple. So that's the, you know, it is a, you know, very difficult task. To even contemplate trying to do something to really fix the problem, because the problem is so big in terms of how big the stupidity is of the average human. And so the biggest ape in the China shop is religion. You know, the biggest moron, the biggest impediment to intelligent human behavior. You know, it's this, these still stupid, old, archaic, moronic stories, you know, these fake narratives about how we got here and what we're doing here. And it's a big part of the subject in the sense that, you know, once you've gotten rid of this spirituality notions or heaven notions or purpose notions and creation notions and all this other crap, and you recognize we're just biological machines, you know, then you have to take on the full responsibility of recognizing, well, does the machine work well enough for me to justify imposing being a machine? You know, being just another iteration in the chain of things that have arrived on Earth with a sentient brain and being forced to pick up the right stuff and eat it and not eat the wrong stuff and, you know, play with things that won't kill you and, you know, all this other crap. Navigate a very complicated world to navigate because, yeah, you can't be guaranteed anything and, you know, the poisonous bugs sometimes look like the non-poisonous bugs and there's all kinds of stuff in there tricking you, you know. It's just, you know, a crapshoot where you're going to end up. There's lots of traps that, you know, all the knowledge in the world aren't going to keep you from falling in them. They're you know, well hidden, let's just say. And certainly at the creation point, they're well hidden. You're not going to see your kid's cancer with your ultrasound. You know, oh, it's going to get cancer when it's 15 years old. No, you're not going to see that with your ultrasound. You know, you're not going to know ahead of time what kind of disaster you've set it up for. There's a bunch of hidden ones. So the conversation, the video I made before that I didn't record, it didn't go exactly this direction. The point was is to just say, okay, so the first thing you're trying to do is define accurately what a living thing is. And then even that gets complicated because the little things that are alive, technically, I guess, or whatever, because they have a DNA molecule and they have a mouth and an ass, and so we call them a living thing. We're made of them. You know, we're not one of them. We're made of them, billions and billions of them. And, you know, we're a colony of them, and it's through the colony that we do all the stuff that's interesting. So the colony makes the brain. The colony makes the electrical cells that, you know, create the illusion of awareness and awakeness and being here, and all those are just, you know, in a sense you could just reduce them to reflexes. So the little cells can have a reflex, you know, the certain environmental conditions happen and their mouth opens, you know, and they eat stuff, and then certain other chemicals are in the environment, their mouth closes so they don't eat the poo, you know, kind of things like that. They're just reflexes that cause an action. I mean, you know, we're based on the same model, and it's just that we have some reflexes that create things that are more bizarre, a feeling, you know, or a thought. And but it's the same process. So the same process that, you know, knee jerk, it's the same process that's making your thoughts and arranging your personality and your mood and how you feel. All that's being controlled by the same kind of triggers. And yeah, that's all you are as a machine. You have these little added features that you have reflexes that are creating, perspective. They're putting things in the environment that aren't in the environment that you actually are in, and they're just being put there to give you some context. Like, you know, you could see the world, and then you could see the world with the bear in it. And so your brain is capable of popping the bear in there just to say, you better be afraid. You better be aware there might be a bear. And he's just over there. So he's not in view yet, but he's heading for you. So I got to keep you aware of that. So I'll keep popping that image into your head of something to fear, something to be conscious of. And I can do it in lots of, you know, very constructive ways and ways that work against you. You know, it can make you depressed. You know, it can, your reflexes. And, you know, so this positive sense of responsibility, you can have too much of it, and then you can just drive yourself into the ground, into a morbid depression. So it's all really sloppy and messy how all these reflexes work to create, you know, a human person or a personality or an animal's personality, frankly. Just it's all applies to the other biological colonies of cells, and some are some are more able because they have more refined and advanced reflexes that enable them to do language and communicate and learn and all this kind of stuff, where the other organisms aren't capable of advancing their reflexive functionality. They're just kind of stuck with the default out-of-the-box variety with no extra features, you know, no Wi-Fi adapter, no, you know, all the other, you know, they have to do it the old corded way. So they're just a less advanced iPhone. It doesn't do as much stuff, doesn't have any internet, you know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't change the fact that it's doing the same stuff, in the sense that it's going to be experiencing, you know, this, what I call dangerous circumstance, you know, where, yes, you're vulnerable to all kinds of torture and horror and negative, and yes, there are these little pieces of life that are beautiful and attractive, might be the right word, compelling, but tiny percentage of the overall mood experience, frankly. Most of the time is spent in tedious and redundant and mundane and, you know, like this video, not very thrilling, and almost hard work, in the sense you have to try to engineer and figure out what's that's the right way to say that, what kind of face should I make when I say that, lots of work in terms of, you know, drawing it and redrawing it and all of that kind of crap. And it's just, you know, and that's what life is mostly. So it's just coming up with a fair definition of what it is to be a living thing, and then you could have some rational conversation about why somebody would actually make one. And so the truth is that, yes, most of it's made by people who are really dumb, and you can't fix dumb, you know, by just saying you're dumb, stop being dumb. So you have to do a whole bunch of other work to try to make somebody not dumb. Now, it shouldn't be as much work as it appears to be. I mean, you know, to explain to people that they're living a fable, a lie, and that the reality is brutally cruel, and there's all this attrition, that the DNA molecule is actually mass murdering children as part of its fun, as part of its winning strategy, and that you wouldn't let people do that, so why are you letting a DNA molecule do that? I mean, you wouldn't give somebody permission to, you know, kill 100 kids to make one kid not get tooth decay. You know, to cure it of tooth decay. You wouldn't allow that. But you'll allow nature to do it. Okay. And you'll claim some right of nature to do it. To be a mass murderer. Because that's the whole way it functions. And to just jump on to that bandwagon and say, I'm not going to do any better than what nature does. Okay, so I'm just going to play along, and I don't care if I mass murder children. That's too silly and too stupid. And you say, well, that shouldn't be too hard to convince people they shouldn't be really stupid about it. So if they're going to have kids, they shouldn't say nature says so, because nature's a moron. So they should make a better excuse for why they think it's a good idea to subject a being to this risk. So risk, dangerous, I mean, that's what it is. Okay, this isn't just some, free pull, of the slot machine, and you get free money. You win, and you don't have to lose. You don't have to invest anything. No, you have to invest a lot of potential risk. You could pull the arm and it says, "I just, took your house. I just killed your wife. I just gave your kid cancer." You're pulling a really dangerous arm when you decide to invest in the game of life. And it shouldn't be too hard to get people to appreciate at least that aspect, that there's a huge risk, and the risk is mainly, to the victim, not to you. So this is about how rude are you willing to be in some respects. And so that shouldn't be too hard an argument to make, too. How dare you, play your slot machine with somebody else's money, putting their house at risk and their welfare at risk and all of that crap. That's really obnoxious, frankly. And you really don't, realistically, unless you're 12 years old and you haven't watched Grandma and Grandpa die yet, and you haven't had enough negative experiences to recognize that, yes, you understand life is a little dangerous, that this isn't some perfect, fun gift that somebody gave you that has these burdens in it, some of it can be quite obnoxious. I mean, some of that was easy for me because I really hated school. I really hated the whole institutional marching thing. So life became really obnoxious as soon as they forced me to go to school. It's like life got twice as bad. For whatever it was, I thought it was, okay. And then you're 6 years old or whatever it is, five, and all of a sudden they ship you off to this hell of, all of this, do what they say you have to do now. You don't get to make any choices. You don't do what you want. You keep doing things you don't want when you don't want to do them. They tell you when to nap, when to wake up, when to eat, and it's like, fuck this. So, after a few years of that, I was already pretty ready to just get out of it. I didn't have much interest in living, let alone any interest in saying, boy, let's get some more people into this fun game. Didn't even occur to me to think that would have been a good idea. So anyway, just throwing a personal anecdote in there. I might take a break and see if I can refine my video in all of the word clutter I have now created and such. All right, back. All right, so I want to try to find the original video. Which was simply an argument about, let's say you could get to the point where a civilization recognized sort of that, you shouldn't let people that are 13 years old decide to have kids. It was a thing that people did recognize at a minimum should be done by adults capable of taking on the responsibility and not just making it a social problem. That it really shouldn't be a social problem. It should be, if you're going to have kids or make living things, people who are opposed to it shouldn't have to subsidize it, that's for certain. It should be on those who are interested in this making of living things. Lots of little subtle ways that you could change the dynamic enough where the problem goes away. And that's sort of where we are, as funny as it sounds. I mean, we are actually to a point where, you know, all the advanced cultures are not reproducing at a rate sufficient to maintain their existence. They would, in fact, slowly but surely die out as a civilization because the common average life doesn't include enough baby-making, frankly. It's not a big enough part of the average life, you know. So you don't have to get people to willfully vote against making babies, you know, making more living things. They'll do it in their own self-interest, in a sense, okay, because they won't participate in the investment required to vote for that in terms of the diminishment of their own existence, in terms of taking responsibility for the expense, you know, the extra work you have to go to pay for it, you know, to educate it, do all this crap is very expensive, it's health care, blah, blah, blah. And they don't want to, you know, they don't want to compromise their own adventure to create the adventure for the new things, you could argue. But as a philosophical position, yeah, it's clearly not winning, okay? I mean, there's a, you know, the world is becoming dumber and more religious and all of that kind of, although those negatives are gaining ground rather than losing ground because of this very fact that, you know, most of the smart people aren't participating, you know, in the baby maturation fun. And so the liability just exists that this is really it's just about stupid matadors and explaining to them if you stop playing your silly game, the game will go away. And so it's sort of getting people to understand, like one of the first things they would hear as a kid might be, this is the danger of youth, is that it recklessly imposes the threat of harm to children. And I think kids could understand that, yes, they're really not competent to raise babies and they don't make enough money to afford to buy it a birthday present and all of that kind of crap. And, it's not that hard an argument to make. Some easy things would fix it, you know, if you could just press a button and switch who has babies, you know, men versus women. It sure would be an interesting experiment just to see the outcome, just to see how funny it would be. Women trying to trick men into getting pregnant or something, and just, you know, because I think most men would just, you know, even if they wanted a kid, they wouldn't want it enough to sacrifice all that you have to sacrifice in terms of the process of being pregnant, the unpleasantness of it. How much damage it can do to you physically and all the other ways. And, I just can't imagine it happening, frankly. That men would be really interested, you know. I can't wait. Yeah, I think most would wait. That would obviously change the equation some. But then you're just getting to the psychology stuff, you know, and that's all that this whole thing is about, is different psychologies and the fact that those psychologies are just robotic reactions to a cultural position you're in. And, the fact that you either heard an argument that was good or you didn't hear an argument that was good. You know, the person either made a good argument, they didn't. So it's like this video. I either make a compelling argument or I don't. And that's going to change how people think. And I make a good argument, they think different. I make a bad argument, they don't. And the inverse can happen too. I can make so bad an argument that I strengthen their belief in some other kind of bullshit. and that's just That's just the reflexes. That's just the robot's functionality. Is its dependency on, adding up the features that exist in their environment and drawing conclusions. So if they don't have the personal experience, they need somebody else to describe the experience to them so they can understand. So it would be nice to, another thing, if you could change it, was if you could get some sort of honesty into how people talk about their experience. So unfortunately, all the people who should be telling the, oh, fuck, just be careful story, in the sense of, the people born without arms or something, they all end up doing the stoic thing, which is, sort of that is understandable, because they have a lot to overcome in their life. They have to fight for every bit of it and all this kind of stuff, and they should be proud of their victory over their deficit, and the fact that they came from, they're the long shot and they came from behind, so it ends up being more just about their heroic fight against their negative odds, then it becomes some real statement about, gee, this just makes it even worse, that you have to fight this hard to eke out an existence, and that, the harder you make it isn't a good thing, and it's just, it's just ridiculous to celebrate that accomplishment of mediocrity. And that's all we're doing. Even when we have all of these skills, we're still doing something that's just not very magnificent. It's just mundane functionality and just doing your job, so to speak. It's like this. Setting a task and trying to perform the task, and it's really not that much fun, frankly. Trying to learn how to eat with your feet is not fun. So let's not pretend it was all gravy and glory, because it isn't. So it'd be nice if the people who are blighted would actually complain and say, yeah, it sucked. I wouldn't want to do that again. Instead of hyping, oh, it doesn't make any difference, everything's fine, So the other part of it I thought of, that's just part of why I believe what I believe, is just thinking about the fact that, all these people are opining on how worth it is to be alive, and they haven't died yet. And so it occurs to me, just witnessing death, this is really a big one. Okay, this is a big negative that's going to exist in your life, and it's just silly to pretend you're going to get, you're going to be lucky, and it's not going to be a big significant ball of pain, because it appears that it more than likely is going to be that. It's these aren't happily ever after stories. They are tragedy and horror in the end stories, most of the time. And so to be boldly talking about how, well, yes, it's all win-win, all winning, it's not, that's, so it would be nice if we could get the real testimony to people after they have experienced the fun part of dying, disability and death, maybe 10 years of it, the fight against their fetters and their infections and their, cancers and whatnot. Yuck. Sorry, I just don't see those people being dishonest enough to say, oh, that part didn't matter. not even close. Yuck. Yeah, I can't even... some of that all automatically happens, so I can use my grandmother as an example that, even though she was stoic and strong, she conceded, in her 80s that she was done. So she was only 80 and she wasn't really fettered and she wasn't really anything, substantially horrible except being goddamn old. And being kind of fatigued with arthritis and all the little fetters of oldness. And then she lived to be another, you know, she lived to be 107, and, you know, it just didn't get any easier. So she had to live all those years basically just enduring, you know, and fighting through, you know, all of the distance she was getting from, you know, the reality she once knew, and just living in a foggier and foggier world, so to speak, I guess you could argue. And then certainly the last couple of years, her, you know, where she finally, the brain, you know, sort of disappeared, and it was just a child you were torturing, still aware, but not capable of doing anything about it, you know, and basically wishing to be dead and all that kind of stuff, and it's just a horrible position to be in. And, you know, and the medical industrial complex, you know, wouldn't let her die. Because, you know, you make money off the dead, the dying. It's good business. Well, anyway, just, you know. So, I mean, all those, you could just say they're good stories until you write that ending. So, I can do that with an awful lot of people, say the most important people in my life, frankly. Some of them. Just their death was so degrading and bad, you know, that for it alone, even if I didn't personally endure any substantial hardships in my life, I'd almost say, I don't want this to ever be happening again. You know, you don't do this over again. So this scenario, you don't put this play, you know, you don't make it into a movie ever. Okay, again, because frankly, the end was just such an indignity. And such an abomination to decency, so to speak, and deserve had nothing to do with it. It was just so undeserved and inconsistent with every aspect of their existence. It just was so fucking rude, an end. Yeah, so how much of that do you have to see, you know, to have enough pause to say, well, I'm not just going to hit the button, you know. do I have some conditions? Do I have something? Can I control some of this? Because, yeah, just hitting the button that's just obnoxiously stupid. So the argument is that, yes, if you make good enough arguments, then the other robots won't be stupid enough to, you know, make the mistakes that lead to the reckless production of pain and suffering and horror and all of that sad story. Another sad story written by a moron. Written by negligence, ignorance, arrogance, and tradition, frankly. Because that's all that's writing it now. Is, you know, people who have just some mommy said so philosophy. And it's not deep enough. It's not accurate enough. It's not connected to reality enough to be a story worth reading. A narrative of reality. It's just it's junk, garbage, trivially flawed as a defense of actions. All right. Still not where I was trying to go, but try again. Be back. Alright, back. So I was just thinking about the difference between somebody actually playing a video game and then watching somebody else play a video game, and how, you know, the two things are pretty different. You know, one is pretty stale compared to the other, you know, being, you know, involving you so much that you are taken away from your reality and transported to a better world, you could almost argue, or a better state of being, you know, one not blighted by thoughts of the people who have died badly and all of that kind of crap. So obviously that's sort of why you could argue what's in some way responsible for the change in perspective, I guess you could argue, between the past and the present. So you could say in civilized countries, people find their own life interesting enough and they really don't want to watch, be a spectator to somebody, their kid's life, so to speak. Making kids just seems like a huge break in their virtual game, that they can't play their game if they have to be distracted by engineering a game for their kids to play. And so they're not really making some kind of philosophical choice, you know, about what's the meaning of life and is there purpose in replicating. So it's not as simple as just pressing a button and just walking away and saying, I voted for it or I voted against it. Because they actually do have to pay that personal price, and that personal price is the one that's stopping people from having kids, I think. Substantially, is that people are choosing to make their own life interesting in more efficient ways than make it interesting in the fact of they just be chasing problems. Instead of chasing problems they can't solve with an undo button or a start over button or a return to your saved game, they rather not play the reality game where all of those buttons don't exist, and you know, it's all a lot more tedious and unpleasant and expensive. I guess that would be a key part of it too, is just that I don't think people have any sense of real financial security, and so I don't think they can feel comfortable about making the decision in that environment either. So there's lots of reasons why they choose, you know, to be more adverse to being stuck in the dilemma of being burdened by a responsibility to children. And so that's not like, oh, antinatalism will die out because antinatalists don't breed, and therefore there won't be any antinatalists tomorrow. Well, there are clearly going to be people tomorrow who are going to recognize quickly enough in their life that having kids isn't a great idea. So it's just the truth. That's what's happened. And for the last 50 years or so, that's the trend, is a kid is more likely, once he's gotten through high school and all that crap and done some college even, to figure out that there's no advantage to having children. That's not going to make their life more interesting. It's not going to help their career, and it's not going to do this and it's not, you know, all those things that they might have some ambitions for their life, and having kids isn't part of the ambition. So I mean, you can almost argue, I guess this is, it spreads across both males and females, I guess, in the sense that a lot of women have become interested in being something. And so then they, I suppose, can recognize that they're less likely to be very competitive in the something they might want to be, you know, if they have the burden of the papoose and, you know, having to be distracted by the chores of maintenance of children. You know, they hire it done now. You know, have somebody else raise their kids, which is, you know, that's so stupid that you can't even come close to figuring out how you could be that retarded. You know, why are you having them then if you're not even interested in making them into something? You know, ensuring what they're made into isn't what the nanny decided to make them into, but whatever. So even that part's interesting. So anyway, so yes, the good news is people are, you know, voting with their shoes, so to speak. They're walking the right walk. They're just not talking the right talk, which is kind of funny. You know, that they're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, I guess you could argue. And so the rest of the argument will just be about those, you know, the ones who are using some sort of philosophical argument to defend creating human beings. And, you know, then the arguments just become all of these arguments of imposition and rudeness. And how dare you tell somebody else that it's worth it? I mean, where do you have the... you know, I don't know what the right word, it's just rude. to be sitting there obnoxiously telling somebody else that you know that it's going to be in, it's for their own good, you know, that kind of bullshit, when it's so risk-laden, it's just a stupid kind of recklessness to promote it as if it's a free, again, as if there's no downside negative, and that somehow you have proper insurance to cover that negative. You know, you put the kid on the rickety roller coaster, and yeah, you don't have any, there's no undo button, you know, for the disaster. And, you know, to be that obnoxious with somebody else's welfare is just, that shouldn't be a hard argument to make. It should be almost as easy as making the argument about why are you harassing this poor bull in a bull ring? Why are you torturing it to death? I mean, you can't figure out how that can't possibly be a good thing to be doing, you know, and that if you're enjoying it, there's something fucking wrong with you, okay? You're broken. Your reflexes aren't working right. If that's giving you a boner, you're really fucking perverted and sick. Because that ain't a good thing, fucker. Torture's not a good thing. You shouldn't enjoy doing it and perpetrating it, participating in it. That's really sick. That shouldn't be a hard argument to make. So the point is whether, you know, whether the argument should be made at all, and whether you really should just be arguing for more social mechanisms that create deterrence. So, you know, I mean, being generally a liberal, really liberal, frankly, my whole life, the truth is that, yeah, why placate people who make bad decisions, because if you don't really make them pay for it, then you're not going to create any deterrence. So, you know, make people see that, we're not going to give you infinite welfare, and we're not going to do all this stuff. We'll take the kids away from you and make you go to work, and we'll steal half your salary to pay for the kid you made. Create real deterrents that have something to do with having some appreciation for the burdens you do create. The fact is that voting population is going to now exist. I mean, you know, a third of the people don't get married. So why should they subsidize people who are? They should find it kind of resentful, something to be resentful about. Is why am I subsidizing people who get married? Why is that my obligation as a single person? If I don't have a dog or a cat, why should I subsidize, you know, having to do animal control and having to try to fix all of the problems your pet ownership creates? And the same goes big time for kids. I mean, 90% of property taxes have something to do with financing other people's kids. Get rid of the kids and you get rid of, 90% of the social infrastructure that you've created, because most of it just has to do with babysitting, and people having to pay for the babysitters. So as there's more and more people who don't have kids, there's going to be more and more people saying, well, yeah, why should I work an extra month a year, you know, or more, or a lot more, you know, depending on what kind of job they have. Frankly, I've never made, much money. So to me, the property taxes are like 90% of the income. Why should 90% of my income be going to support somebody else's dumbass, stupid, retarded fucking decision about having children to play with? Why the fuck should I have to pay for it? I'm just saying that attitude is not going to be in some rare dissident who, you know, isn't playing along. It's going to be a larger and larger percentage of the population who's going to feel totally disconnected from this majority that used to exist. That was all covered in love for making babies. It's not going to be a world where everybody says, yeah, let's steal other people's money to pay for my kids. It's going to be a bunch of people saying, let's stop those fuckers from stealing our money to pay for their kids. Anyway, I didn't really want to get to the political element, but I mean, it's just part of, if people really had to pay the real price, you know, for what they're doing, maybe they wouldn't do it. And again, all of the, you know, if you go back historically, I mean, all of this baby making mostly happened because people didn't have their personal will didn't have anything to do with it. Okay, for most of them, it was just a byproduct of having sex and accidents and all of that kind of crap. It wasn't some sort of on purpose, deliberate choice made to let's radically change our lifestyle by having an autistic kid to take care of for the rest of our life. Not part of the program. There wasn't any thought that went into it. And I guess you could argue that the more smartphone, the more technically precise our life becomes, the more these decisions are going to be obligated to be technically precise, to be willful and purposeful, rather than just let it happen. Who cares? Plant your seeds in the middle of the winter. There's not going to be any of that kind of dysfunction. There won't be as much of it or as much tolerance for it. Now, the opposite argument is idiocracy is on the move, and clearly there's a bunch of people that think it's somehow good for us to become idiots, and we should import as many idiots as possible and have as many idiots voting as possible. And so, that's a real downside, is that the breeders are going to repopulate the civilizations with their spawn, and their spawn aren't going to be smartphoning. They're not going to be doing intelligent things, and they're going to be dangerous because they are stupid and ignorant and full of fables and full of moronic stories about what it means to be alive. And that's not going to work. But who? So hard to see clearly through all of these different elements of potentially important factors or trends, and to say what's going to happen in the next 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. But I would argue that because the conversation can actually be had, almost. I mean, there is this threat. I mean, there is so much, there's this part of the society that wants to outlaw any conversation, that it says is taboo. I mean, it does want to shut people up. And so that danger does exist. But there's also this idea, the other side to that story is people want access and full access to reality and everybody and everything that's said. And, so there's, again, forces and counter forces. Hard to say which one is going to win. The fact that there you can have this, real conversation outside of the taboo that you have to pay respect to the religious fables and indulge in some sort of notion that we have to exist in some default universe that is controlled by some default spiritual intentional God thing. It's really just bullshit. And the whole idea of a free will, I mean, even all those conversations, the very fact that they're almost cliche, there's so many of them and so much conversation about it, where no one even said the words, barely, in my youth. And the more somebody thinks about it, the more they're going to be stuck with the idea that, what did I have to do with it? where's the free part? My brain makes a decision. I don't know. Where's the freeness? Somebody says 2 + 2, I say 4. I mean, I'm not free. That's kind of silly to say something stupid, I mean, I see the brick wall in the road and, I'm not really free to think, oh yeah, that's fine. I'll just crash into it and everything will be just fine. I'm not free to think that. I'm not free to say it. I'm not free to suggest it. It's just stupid to say I have any freedom. Everything is controlled by a, mathematical process, a mechanical reflexive process. And if I have really dumb reflexes, well, then I think I'm more important and I'll make up some excuse why my victim isn't important, and then I can squish them and drink their blood. But it's only through some moronic bullshit I made up of, you know, some delusion that I'm a god, or, you know, that I'm so much more advanced than they are, and they're just, they're just pigs, and I can slaughter them. You know, there's no, you can't freely choose badly, unless you have some really bad reasoning, frankly. You gotta have a bad bit of information that you've shoved into the reality, a bad, a piece of distortion and perversion that your brain has likewise chosen to use as a mechanism to justify you getting what you want, and finding some excuse to compromise what other people want, which is, 70% of being human, something like that. Anyway, all right, I take a break and try one more time. All right, so the brain thought of the bandwagon kind of argument. Okay, so this is really just about, a large part of this subject is just getting rid of the God delusion. It's really the biggest threat to intelligent thought and the idea of recognizing that this isn't some God game that we're playing. It's a real game, and we're the gods. We're the ones in control. We're driving the bus. And we're responsible for the people on the bus. We're responsible for everything that happens. We didn't make cancer, but we are making cancer. You know, we are making it possible for somebody to be thrown off the bus in some brutal way. It's all, we're accountable because we're saying, yes, put gas in the bus and drive, or don't put gas in the bus and don't drive. So we've made the decision to put gas in the bus. We've made the decision to put the children on the roller coaster. We have to defend the roller coaster. And religion just creates an evasion. So it just creates an ability for people to evade our personal responsibility for our role played in whether or not the game continues or not, or whether the harm happens or the torture happens or all this stuff happens. It's all on us. So people are using God to run away from the fact that they're torturing people who are dying by not allowing them to die gracefully, as a token to their love for their God. They're sacrificing somebody else's torture. So, I mean, you can see all the places where this religion allows them to have an escape for taking responsibility for what they're doing. And they are doing evil, awful, nasty, rude things to other feeling creatures, and God's letting them do it. It's providing the excuse making. So it's a giant part of the conversation. And, it really is just a bandwagon thing for these religious kooks. I mean, they don't really haven't thought about it. They really haven't analyzed the legitimacy of the story, the fable they believe, right? They just believe it. The Muslims think their story is the only story, and the Jesus freaks think their story is the only story, and blah, blah, blah. And they don't even recognize how silly it is to sit there and be so confident about a story that's told that doesn't have any more evidence than all the other dopey stories that are told. And, the biggest piece of evidence missing is any evidence that this creator thing ever or does exist. I mean, it's just so unevidenced. The most preposterously unevidenced theory in the history of mankind kind of thing. So anyway, but it's all a bandwagon thing for them. These people just jump on the bandwagon. So you don't really, it's not really about making an argument. It's just about passing them with a prettier bandwagon, with better instruments. And so they'll want to be part of the better, the bigger popular crowd kind of thing. Because they really are functioning as such dumb little animals that you really just have to fool them by showing them a bigger banana. Somehow you have to bribe them out of their religion with bingo or, some other little added attraction, double bingo. So you don't have to be a Catholic anymore because the atheists are offering double bingo, some kind of bullshit like that. So they're really just attracted to the social infrastructure or some other kind of bullshit, and you just need to give them those little trinkets, those little bits of candy, and they'll go wherever you want them to go. And the sad truth, that's, you know, that's a big part of the human race. And so really, you know, philosophical arguments are nice, but it's maybe the more powerful mechanism is the fact that you need to, you know, create these little pieces of social infrastructure that'll make it possible to migrate people from mommy's delusions and daddy's delusions. You know, you don't have to be a towel head, bowing to Allah every 45 minutes, singing your prayers and whatever. I mean, the whole thing is so ridiculous. You know, the Catholics and their morbid, decorated cathedrals with their little, pretensive uniforms and their silly little smoking urns and theatrics. It seems to me you could construct a better Sunday morning party than that to seduce people out of belonging to that moronic club. It doesn't seem like it's got any, it has so little entertainment value. I just, it just seems that, a meager small group of atheists could come up with a better whorehouse than that. Something, more attractive as a group to belong to. But it's sort of obnoxious to the whole point of being an atheist is, it's sort of anti all of those kind of silly things of placating your psychology. And it's more about, enhancing your knowledge and intelligence and all of that kind of stuff. And so that becomes kind of unentertaining because, intelligence feeding on, it's you sort of need a refined taste to feed on intelligence, gaining knowledge, to enjoy finding new bits of information, new concepts, new interpretations, new definitions. That's sort of a more refined taste in activity, fun. Okay. Well, anyway, but almost anything is better than church, right? I mean, that is just such a, it's so hard to figure out the appeal. I mean, it's another thing where, it was just like, having to go to church on Sundays was just such a pain in the ass, and you just, had so little interest in wasting these, 3 hours when you add it all up, getting dressed and sitting through this mush, and then the afterbirth and the whole thing was just such a, such an unpleasant adventure. And it's just like, how the hell did this have any appeal to people? The sing-songing and stuff? I mean, what, who did that charm the fuck out of? Let's all sing a song together. I mean, ew. It's like smelling each other's butts or something. Why the hell would I want to do that? I just couldn't get any of that. So that's part of the problem, is I'm a person who doesn't get any of it. I'm trying to figure out, what the hell is the appeal? I want to make some artificial piece of candy that duplicates whatever this stuff is that motivates people. And it's just so hard to figure out, what the fuck are these people showing up for this crap for? They have a choice, okay? I don't have a choice. They're choosing to be here. Why the fuck are they choosing to be here? And then they're passing around a plate and asking for money. And it's like, what, I'm going to give you money on top? I'm going to pay you for this bad show? Fuck, why am I doing that? I mean, it's hard to figure, frankly. I can't... so you're saying it's just kind of amazing that this stupid drug is addictive to people. Because you're just saying, what's the cool feature? I don't get it. I don't get high on this shit at all. I mean, it's just gives me a headache. It's just headache weed. Why the hell would I pay money for this? Fuck, why would I waste my time? Putting in the pipe. Why? So anyway. And they really didn't believe any of this crap. I mean, it's just... I remember one of the most obnoxious, arrogant little fuckers in the church we belonged to you know, he's just such a moralizing little Ayatollah. But he'd see on the street or something doing something, and he'd, you know, he wasn't like it with fire and brimstone. I mean, he wasn't that archaic, you know, but he would just do this, like, I'm spying on you and I'm going to tell your parents or something. You know, he was just a kind of a, just a narky little butthead. But he's always, you know, involved in all this church crap. And he killed himself, you know, and it's, I mean, and in such a rude way, you know, in the sense that he did it in his house, in the basement, his son found him. I mean, it was all just kind of disgusting when you think about it. And you're just saying, well, so what? All that crap you did for your whole life was just a lie? You were just pretending? I mean, what the fuck was that all about, you bastard? And, you know, that's the part that's just so hard to figure out. You know, if they're living a lie and their whole life is a lie and they're all really morbidly depressed and sad and they can't find any meaning in their life, why the fuck are they selling so hard? I mean, it's just so hard to figure that personality out. You know, it's like the... yeah, I'm trying to think of the good example of the... Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head. You know, some example of some enabler, you know. Somebody whose mother was killed by a drunk and they end up being a bartender or something. I don't know. Some kind of, you know, but it's not coming to me. So I'll just leave it at what it is. But yeah, it's those little moments in life, those little stories that are part of my programming that, you know, tell me, you know, just how fucked, you know, how big a lie so much of this shit is. And you're not really arguing with people's, you're not arguing with their soul, so to speak. What's really running them, you're arguing with facade and bullshit, you know, pretense, crap, you know, just their fake life, you know. Anyway, that's probably enough and such. So, sorry you missed the first video, but yeah, it was different, frankly. So I never got to all the stuff I wanted to get to. But anyway, there'll be other videos to get to other stuff. But it's an interesting circumstance because, you know, part of me is saying, okay, this is just about tricks. You know, you can just, you know, all you need to do is fool them with card tricks and, you know, little fake images. Just, you know, draw the arrows in the right direction and they'll follow. And it doesn't have to be any logic or reasoning. You just want to fool them into falling, you know, into the trap. Yeah, it's just really trap making. And we just need to make the right kind of candy to trap, you know, the human race into doing the right thing. And the other part of it is just having this serious, real conversation about, well, what's the nature of our existence? And it really is just bugs, okay? Bugs are just chemistry. It's just, you know, mechanics. We're just mechanical devices. We are, in fact, ChatGPT. We're just as much an AI as an AI is going to be. We're completely artificial in the sense that we have no genuine, you know... what you would call intelligence, in the sense that it's all just recognizing there's an environment and you have to accurately describe it. And so our advantage is that we actually experience feelings, and so we can taste them and feel them and experience them and know them, and we can put that into the equation and figure out that, well, why would you risk torture? I mean, is there anything we're doing that's worth torturing anything for? I mean, one little fluffy bunny. Is there any reason to slowly pull its legs off? Is the human race worth killing a rabbit for? Torturing a rabbit and then killing it? Is it worth one little raped 9-year-old? Is there anything we're doing that's really worth it? And I think the simple answer is, fuck no. You know, so it's just silly. It's a silly waste of rape and torture. If you're going to rape and torture, you really have to produce something more than what we're producing, which is just pretty much rape and torture. Shit. Shouldn't be hard to make this argument, frankly. It that should work, but the fact is people are too fucking distracted by absolute bullshit to pay any attention to the real world and the real argument. So it's going to take some time. Anyway, but we are winning, okay? I mean, accidentally. I mean, we are backing into victory, but yeah, it would be nice to win for the right reasons. Because human beings recognized with a somber and respectful pause that, yeah, this isn't a good enough story. If I'm gonna force somebody to play this game, I gotta make them a better game to play. That isn't, again, that should be so easy for somebody to say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I get that. But it ain't. Anyway, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough. Okay, hitting the button. Yeah, it's good practice. Apparently, I need practice.